learning to deny self. If you remember the very first chapter, we talked about what is self-denial. And Jesus said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark chapter 8, verse 4. We also talked about the fact that self-denial is one of the basic attributes of Christianity. And yet it is one of the most difficult to attain. You see that one reason for that is because it requires a great strength of will. Then chapter 2, we talked about God demands self-denial. He said that self-denial is not just a suggestion for a better life. It is a command of the Lord. The requirement for self-denial is found in more texts than we may think on the surface. Self-denial is affirmed on nearly every page of the Bible. Then lesson 3, we talked about putting God's will first. He said in the previous lessons, we saw that God demands self-denial. Jesus said that one must deny himself to be his followers, Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Part of the principle of self-denial is learning to put God's will first. And if you remember, I have stated in the past, you cannot really grow as a child of God without really learning to know what this subject is talking about, putting God's will first. It encompasses everything that we do as a Christian. As a matter of fact, that is the reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth. He did not put his will first, but he put God's will first. And if you remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? When the time of dying was closing by, what did Jesus Christ say? Not my will, but who? Lord, God's will. You know, the question for us today is this. How can we put God's will first in our lives? Why is it important that we put God's will first in everything that we do? If you want to grow closer to God, you want to live a fruitful life as a Christian, a life that is full of joy, happiness, kindness, forgiveness, there's no other way to put it. God's will must supersede our will. You cannot be a child of God when you harbor anger, or when you harbor hatred, or when you are not kind, or when you are not joyful. And the only way you can be who that God wants you to be is this. We must put God's will ahead of our will. This morning, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that we can do to make sure that God's will is top priority in our lives. I do believe God wants us to be happy. God has blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. But the only way you can get to that mountain where God wants you to be is to put God's will ahead of your will. Is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. Is it going to rob you of joy sometimes? Absolutely. But I do believe there's nothing you cannot do if God is on your side. And so I don't want us to look at how small we are, but I want us to look at the fact that we have a God who loves us so much that he was willing to allow his only begotten son to die for our sins. He said, putting God's will, chapter 4. In part 1 of this study, we saw that man must learn to suppress his own will and yield to the will of God. The question now is for you and I this morning, brothers and sisters, is this. How can we learn to suppress our will and yield to the will of God? What are some of the things that we can do to learn to suppress our will and yield to the will of God? Look, he said learning. So which means it takes effort. which means it takes time, and which means it takes sometimes for us to put the phone aside and concentrate on the Word of God, and which means sometimes it means cutting up the TV and spend a quiet time meditating on the Word of God. If you do not meditate on the Word of God, if you do not study the Word of God, it's going to be easy for the devil to make you to do the things you don't want to do. So the question is this: how can we learn to suppress our own will and yield to the will of God? That is part of denying self. Those who do not obey God, whether the alien who refuses to be baptized or the child of God who refuses to live right, have not denied themselves. I repeat that again. He said those who do not obey God, whether the alien who refuses to be baptized or the child of God who refuses to live right, have not denied themselves. What does it mean for us to deny ourselves? What does it mean to you? Every morning when you wake up, what does it mean for you to deny yourselves? What does it mean to live right for God? What does it mean to be a child of God that lives every day of his or her life trying to be who that God wants you to be? It takes learning. It takes discipline. It takes effort. And we cannot be all that God wants us to be by just simply cruising along. You know, like you're driving your car on the highway, you put it on cruise. What does it do? It's not going to go faster than 50 miles that you set it. It's not going to go faster than 60 miles that you set it. Some of us are just going through life without taking the time, taking the effort to know that tomorrow might not come. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that life is like a vapor that appeared for a moment, and the next minute it does what? It's gone. And so tomorrow is never guaranteed for any of us. Tomorrow is not promised. But one thing that is promised is this: if we live a life that is full of joy, that is full of kindness, that we put God's will ahead of our will, you can be rest assured when you live this life, God is going to provide you a place where there's no more death, no more anger, no more pain, no more sorrow. And so it is very important that we put God's will ahead of our will. I always say this: are we going to fail? Absolutely. But we must pick up the pieces and always make sure we put God's will ahead of our will. Brothers and sisters, there is no other way to really tackle this subject. If you do not understand this subject in your life, in your marriage, in your job, in your daily walk with God, you can never be who God wants you to be. There's no way around it. The importance of this subject, it demands your full attention. It demands courage. It demands self-discipline to be who all that God wants you to be. Then he tells us, he said, what are some of the reasons for putting God's will first? If you don't have this book, what are some of the reasons, I'm asking you this morning, to put God's will first ahead of our will? What are some of the reasons? If you don't have this book, what are some of the reasons why God's will should supersede our will?
He made us.
That is good. He made us. And why did God made us?
To glorify him.
To glorify him. And what does it mean to glorify God?
Obey.
To obey. Obedience. And so, and what else? The Bible talked about the writer of this book mentions several reasons why we should put God's will ahead of our will. He said, number one, God is smarter than we are. Is that true? Is God smarter than we are?
Yeah.
Why?
You can't even begin to count the things that he made perfectly that are going to work. You know, I always look at the human cell, all the mechanisms of a human cell. It's made perfectly. It works. It heals the body. You know, just, you know, the animals, the planets, you know, just everything moves in accordance with his will. Is he smarter than us? Yeah, he's smarter than us.
Absolutely. He said God is smarter than we are. God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. Isaiah 58, 8 to 9. Who among men is wise enough or smart enough to give God counsel, telling him that he has a better way? Romans chapter 11, verse 34. You know, the human body is one of the most complex entity you can think of. And yet, they all function together as what? As one. If your leg does not want to move, what happens? You fall. If your eyes, if you are blind and you cannot see, what happens? And so the human body is one of the most complex things that God has made, but everyone works together in unison. Go outside and see the different trees. God made it. So it baffles my mind when people say there is no God. They tell you there is no God. As a matter of fact, remember what Paul said. He said, if all that we have in this life is just to eat and drink, we are most miserable being. So there is a God. So the question is this, if there is a God, what can we do to make sure that we put God's will ahead of our will? Now you say God is smarter than any of us here. Smarter than Albert Einstein, some of the brightest mind you can think of. But yet, people do not want to give credit to God. They think they are smarter than God. Just because you can build a rocket system that flies into the heavens does not make you smarter than God. God's ways are higher than our ways. And so when you learn to put God's will ahead of your will, you start thinking as God thinks. You start having that mindset of what it really means to be a child of God. There are things that normally will make you upset, or there are things that normally will make you to do things that you don't want to do. But when God's word dwells in your heart, when you put God's will ahead of your will, you start seeing a big change in your life. You start looking at things from a different angle. You start seeing things that ordinary people can see. You start knowing who God is. You start feeling a sense of contentment, a sense of joy. That does not come overnight. It means taking time, learning, self-discipline, self-denial. But we still fall prey to the whims of this life because we've not learned to deny ourselves. Then number two, he said, our way leads to death. Why does human ways lead to death? How is that?
We don't have the knowledge.
We do not have the knowledge. One, our ways leads to death. Somebody who is constantly drinking and eventually their liver fails is going to lead to death. Somebody who is driving 200 miles an hour and you do not pay attention to the speed limit, one way or the other, you might lose control of your car and it might lead to death. And so God wants us to deny ourselves. And I have stated there's no other way around it. From the pages of the Old Testament to the pages of the New Testament, we have seen time and time again men and women who have put God's will ahead of their will. And sometimes doing that can lead to somebody taking your life. And sometimes doing that can lead to painful decisions that you need to make. But there's no other way around it. We must put God's will ahead of our will. Number three, God's will is for our good. We do not always see how some command or restriction that God has laid upon us can be for our good. However, his commands are for our good always. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. It says, sometimes we do not always see how some command or restriction that God has laid upon us can be for our good. Number four, if we do not submit to God's will, we are going against God. What are some of the incidences that happened in the Bible whereby they failed to submit to God's will, and what happened?
Israel.
Remember the Zion that touched the ark of God, what happened?
He died.
But do we die today when we fail to do God's will? Spiritually we die, but sometimes that can happen physically. So we do not think that God is not involved in the affairs of men and that everything is just simply cruising along. No sir, no ma'am. God is deeply involved in the affairs of mankind. Whether rulers, whether kings, whether ordinary folks like you and I, God is always involved. And so when we do not submit to God's will, we are against God. What are some of the things that people have failed to submit to the will of God? Remember, in terms of worship, in terms of salvation, in terms of marriage, in terms of the organization of the church, men have simply failed to submit to God's will. I always make this example. God has a plan of salvation. Every one of us here have a plan. When you want to bake your favorite cake, it could be cheesecake or what, cobbler or whatever it is, you have a plan. And the shirt you are putting on was made by somebody to make sure that it fits you. When they decide to build the building that we are now, we have the opportunity to meet together, it was designed and planned. The number of people that can sit in this building, the number of pews, the number of glasses, the number of doors, it was planned. God has a plan for everything. To the point, God also has a plan for you and I. And what was his plan of salvation? He sent Jesus Christ to this world to die for you and I. God's plan is so simple, but yet man wants to make it complicated. God's plan is very simple. We can see that from the book of Matthew to the book of Revelation. God's plan is simple. All you have to do is hear the word of God, repent of your sins, and you are baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And human beings said, no, I am going to put my will ahead of God's will. They don't want to be baptized. They said, no, that is too complicated. We're just going to sprinkle. They said, no, you don't really need baptism. Just touch your TV set and call God to come into your life and you are going to be saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's plan of salvation is simple when it comes to putting God's will ahead of our will. God has told us exactly what he wants done. He has never left us without a plan. You remember in the Old Testament when he told Noah to build an ark. As a matter of fact, God told Noah exactly what kind of wood to use. And not only that, God told Noah the height, the depth, and the width of the ark. As a matter of fact, God told Noah the number of windows to be on that ark. Do you believe if Noah didn't follow God's will to the T, there might not be you and I here today. That would have been the end of human creation. But Noah followed God's will to the T. So brothers and sisters in Christ, it is important that we follow God's will according to his demand. He created us. He knows better than we know ourselves. He's smarter than us. And so if you want to live a life that is enriching, a life that is full of joy and kindness and forgiveness, it is very important that we put God's will ahead of our will. And when people fail to submit to God's will, there is always consequences. And so this morning you have to look at your life deeply, examine your heart. Are there things there that should not be there? Are you harboring thoughts that goes against the will of God? If you are harboring thoughts that goes against the will of God, there are steps that you need to take. You must be a prayerful Christian. You must spend time on the Word of God. You must spend time praying. You must spend time on your knees. And so when we talk about some other religion whereby we consider them not doing the will of God, you know Islam, you know how many times they pray in a day? Yes. And some of us, we go through the whole day, we don't even have time to pray. I've been in that position before. And when we go to bed, we don't even spend time to pray. I've been in that position before. When we are driving, we don't even have time to pray. I've been in that position before. But it takes time and effort for you to begin to learn to draw closer to God. When we draw closer to God, He's going to draw closer to us. I will be talking about some of the benefits when you do God's will and some of the disadvantages when you fail to do God's will. Number five, he said man is not qualified to be his own God. How come man is not qualified to be his own God? How come man is not qualified to be his own God? He is created. Do we have all knowledge? Do we have all power? Do you know what is going to happen tomorrow? Do you? You do not. But God knows. But be rest assured, no matter what happens tomorrow, what is the assurance for a child of God? What does the Bible tell us? You have nothing to fear. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Help to build your faith. In most cases, what happens is this. We are not really converted. Our faith has not really grown. I talked last week, instead of us to be teachers, we are saying what? Needing to be taught. You cannot be, I emphasize again, a good mother, a good father, a good son, a good daughter, a good Christian, when you do not grasp the importance of putting God's will ahead of your will. When you do put God's will ahead of your will, there is a sense of calmness that comes with it. There is a sense of joy that comes with it. There is a sense of contentment that comes with it. But in most cases, we do not put God's will ahead of our will, and sometimes we end up suffering the consequences. He said, man is not qualified to be his own God. So if man is not qualified to be his own God, does that apply in everything that pertains to life and godliness? Absolutely. So the Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and those that worship God must do so in spirit and in truth. So God wants us to worship him, but at the same time, he tells us exactly how he wants us to worship him. But man has simply put everything aside because they have failed to put God's will ahead of their will. So this subject, it applies to everything you do in life. It applies to your marriage. It applies to you when you are at work. It applies to you when you are driving. It applies to you when we are dealing with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ laid down his life for the sheep. He came and died for the sheep. And guess what he wants us to do? We have to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there are ways that we can do that. It could be monetary. It could be your time. It could be the time you spend on your knees praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all family of the Lord's kingdom. It does not matter your height. It does not matter your weight. It does not matter how good looking you are. It does not matter the color of your skin. All that God cares about is that we are all purchased with the blood of who? of Christ. So every one of us here today, we've been purchased with a price. And the price that God used to purchase us is the blood of Christ. So you want to live a life of enrichment, a life of contentment, God's will should always be top priority in your life. So some of the examples. Abraham was so dedicated to doing God's will that he was willing to sacrifice his own son because that was what God told him to do. Abraham was willing. Remember, Abraham couldn't have a child, right? And now God has blessed him with a child. And now that same God is required for him to sacrifice that very child. But Abraham followed God's will to the T. And was he blessed? Absolutely. Abraham was one of the wealthiest human beings you can think of because he followed God's will by putting God's will ahead of his own will. He said, talk about someone who will have to really suppress his own will. Abraham surely had to do that. It wouldn't be easy for anyone to kill a child that he loved. Is there something in your life that you like doing that is contrary to God's will? Is there thoughts that you harbor in your heart that is contrary to God's will? Are there feelings in your heart that is contrary to God's will? You can never grow closer to God without suppressing those thoughts, without suppressing those feelings, which is contrary to God's will. But the question is this, can it be done? Absolutely, it can be done. But it takes learning, effort, dedication, and self-denial. Then he looks at number two. He said, post-exile Israel had married the strangers from that land in violation of God's law. Ezra preached the will of God to them, which said they must separate from their wives. Ezra chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Obviously, that wouldn't be easy. Surely they loved these women. After all, they had married them. Many of them had children by these wives. Verse 44. And yet as hard and as painful as it would be, they said to Ezra, as you have said, so we must do. This is a very tough and difficult thing for anyone to deal with. So brothers and sisters in Christ, you don't have to look at your life today. Are you in a relationship that is contrary to what God has required right from the beginning? Just like Ezra, it requires difficult decision. Excuse me, it's tough. But guess what? The men said, as you have said, so we must do. It requires difficult and painful decisions. So you have to think this morning. Am I in a relationship? Am I in a marriage that is contrary to the will of God? If it is contrary to the will of God, just like these people, excuse me, it requires you to make painful and difficult decision. But if you fail to do that, when God calls you, it's going to be too late. Hebrew tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that judgment. Yes.
The reason that these decisions were so painful for them and so difficult for them is because they made the wrong decision in the first place. They painted themselves back into a corner, and the only way to get out was to hurt.
Absolutely. 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 So the most important thing is the decision making right from the beginning. Make sure that your decision right from the beginning is in line with what God wants you to make right from the beginning. So once you have made that wrong step, that wrong decision, it is going to be very difficult for you to turn backwards. But if God demands it, it has to be done. And if you don't do it, you are going to make a very painful and difficult decision as time goes on. So what can we do in our lives sometimes to make sure that we make the right decision right from the beginning? It requires praying, spending your time on your knees, praying to God. And we know that God answers prayers. Number three, he said, Jesus himself faced the pain and agony of the cross, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew chapter 26, 39 to 42. He said, not my will, but who? God's will. Are you living by God's will today? That is the answer you have to answer for yourself. That is the question you have to answer for yourself. Number four, he said, the Corinthians have lived ungodly and immoral lives. Many of them have been fornicators, adulterers, and homosexuals. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 11. Yet they have given all that up, no matter what pleasure was involved, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It means giving up something for something. When you give up a life that God does not want you to live, there's another life that you must live. And that life involves dedication. Then he also said some of the Ephesians give up the magic, curious arts they have practiced and buried their books. Acts chapter 19, verse 19. To give this up was quite costly, but by denying themselves, the sacrifice could be made. So the Ephesians gave something up. The Corinthians gave something up. Abraham gave something up. Moses gave something up. The Israelites during the time of Israel gave something up. The question is this: what are you going to give up for the cause of Christ? I want you to dwell on that for a moment. As a wife, what are you going to give up for the cross of Christ for your marriage? As a husband, what are you going to give up for the cause of Christ to maintain peace? I'm not saying to maintain peace, you have to follow things that are contrary to the will of God. But everything that we do in this life, God has a plan. And when we follow that plan to the T, there is always joy at the end, no matter how painful it is from the beginning. It says every case of conversion is an example of those who deny self and put God's will first. The Jews on Pentecost gladly received the word and obeyed. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Some of these were the very ones responsible to putting Jesus on the cross. Even the very people that put Jesus Christ to death, Jesus Christ, he had the mindset to forgive. So putting God's will first in our lives means we must develop that very attitude and mindset. You must develop that attitude and mindset. When people hurt you the most, when they say things to you, if God forgive me my sins, oh, how many they are. Oh, things that I've done in the past. Even as a child of God, I still make mistakes. If God can forgive me my sins through Jesus Christ and still allow me to see another day, then who am I not to forgive my brothers and sisters or whoever that come across my way and say things to me that sometimes can be very, very hurtful. When you do that, guess what comes? You are now learning to grow closer to God. you are now learning to think as God will want you to think. You cannot simply say that you are a child of God and you are not developing some of this attitude. You know yourselves better than anyone else in this building. You know yourself better than anyone else sitting on this pew. You know the things that you're supposed not to be looking at. You know the things that you're supposed not to harbor in your heart. You know the things that are wrong in the eyes of God. But you cannot overcome those things if you've not taken the time and the effort to draw closer to God. You have to take steps. You have to take steps to be all that God wants you to be. You cannot do it if you do not make the effort. You cannot be successful if you are not taking the time to really learn of what it means, of what self-denial is all about. We have 5 more minutes left. It said, when you put him first, the Lord directs. These are some of the benefits of putting God's will first. It said, when you put him first, the Lord directs. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct and crown your effort with success. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. Psalms chapter 32, verse 8. He said, when the amount of zinc in the body drops, the synthesis of a prostrate antibacterial factor is reduced. This might be too complicated for us. He said, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. God is always there to support you in every way. Put him first. He said, try me, and I will open the windows of heaven. God is always there every minute, every second to guide you and support you. He said, when you put him first, the Lord protects. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promise are your armor and protection. Psalm 91, verse 4. God's looking after me, keeping me safe in the kingdom of heaven. All praise to him. Praise forever. Oh yes, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. When you put him first, the Lord comes in the midst of storm. You know what happened when Jesus Christ was in the sea with his disciples? What was going on? The storm was raging. And what did Jesus Christ say? Be calm. There's a sense of calmness that you radiate around the child of God. So if you have a problem with anger, I have in the past. If you have a problem with learning to trust people, I have in the past. If you have problem of railing, going down your knees and pray, we all have been through that. Always pray for your enemies. I learned that from Jesus Christ. Always keep all your problems good and pray. God is going to direct you. He said, when you put him first, the Lord helps. So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Isaiah 41, verse 10. He said, no problem is too big for God's power. Don't underestimate the greatest of your heavenly Father. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So brothers and sisters in Christ, putting God's will first means putting God's will ahead of our will. Learning to be closer to God in word and in deed. It's not just saying it, but you must practice it. And if you don't practice it, the reason is why you're not practicing it. And if you are not closer to God in word and in deed, why am I not closer to God in word and in deed? Is there something in my life that is making it difficult for me to draw closer to God in word and in deed? Just like the Israelites during the time of Israel told them to put away those strange wives. There are things in our lives that we must put aside if we want to draw closer to God in word and in deed. But I do believe when we do those things that God wants us to do, there is a sense of calmness.
One of the things that I've found as I get older, it's impossible for me to usurp God's authority while I'm praying. I mean, when you pray to God, you are humbling yourself, and you it's almost impossible to put yourself ahead of Him. So the more time we spend in prayer, the more likely we are to put God's first.
And I was talking to Kid, I think, last Sunday. And I told him I won't be where I am today because of my own power. We were talking with our friends, and the church in Nigeria was very, very small. And sometimes I traveled to the villages and we only meet in a big tree and worship. And I have friends who will make fun of me, you know, so you're going back to that place again with very small people. But God knew my heart, and He has seen me through difficult times, and He has blessed me tremendously beyond my wildest imagination. So brothers and sisters in Christ, if you put God's will ahead of your will, I can reassure you, the road might be difficult, but God is going to see you through to make sure that you are successful. Thanks for your time and your comments.